This is Emotional Connection with Raphael Kushner. It's my personal and professional passion to help people access their emotions directly. This simple but rare process, for those who master it, provides greater wisdom, success, and most of all, well-being. Each week on this podcast, I share a recent session recorded with a client facing a particular challenge. This gives you, the listener, a chance to see the process of emotional connection in an up-close, unedited fashion, applied to practical, everyday concerns. Whenever you get the gist of the issue at hand and want to dive into the process itself, feel free to skip ahead in the podcast. For more information on this work, please visit my website, livingthequestions.org. This is also where you can reach me to ask questions and provide feedback, schedule your own private session by phone, get listings of upcoming events in your area, and learn about our unique year-long program. Once again, that's livingthequestions, plural, .org. This week, our sponsor is Podcast Potpourri. This is a quality program of unique, original, and sometimes beyond the norm topics. It can be heard at podcastfromtheheart.com, one of the podcasting channels on Yaktivate, where this podcast also originates. Podcast Potpourri is updated weekly and includes an interesting array of guest speakers, from psychics to teachers to authors to healers, as well as ordinary people making a big difference in the world. You can listen at podcastfromtheheart.com anytime, any day, online, or download it to your podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, and now, enjoy Emotional Connection. We are here today with Karen. Karen, welcome. I'm so glad you could be with us.
Thank you.
And Karen and I have spoken briefly prior to this call. We've never actually worked together. Karen, you had a number of issues which we sense are related, but the first and most important one that you wrote to me, I think, that I'd like to dive in and explore with you is you wrote to me and you said you've read The Secret, you understand how manifestation works, but you can't seem to control your thoughts and change some aspects of your reality. And part of that that you wrote about was, you know, wanting to, you know, shift your physical body, lose about 50 pounds, and, you know, as hard as you've tried at different times in your life, that just hasn't really worked for you.
Right.
Did I get that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. So I want to just ask you as we begin today to just tell me a little bit about what you mean when you say that, you know, you understand the process of The Secret, and just share with me how you have attempted to put that to work for you.
Okay, well, I'm aware that our thoughts do create our own realities. And even though I know this, the negative stuff comes out stronger. So, you know, as often as I'll say, okay, at some point in time I'm at my ideal weight and I'm completely healthy and I love exercising every day and I love choosing the right foods, I find myself doing the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you attempt to put forward the thoughts that you believe are in alignment with the goal that you want.
Right.
What you find is that what comes up through you instead are very different and sometimes even opposing thoughts.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what I want to share with you is an orientation towards The Secret and any kind of manifestation that may be new for you, but hopefully can help you break through this cycle. The first part of it goes like this. If you try to manifest when you're in resistance,
right,
of any kind, then you really short-circuit the whole thing. So if we take a kind of a simple example of that, you know, if I want to lose 50 pounds and I've learned an affirmation that's kind of like what you just described, I would look in the mirror and I would say, I see my body as blessed and whole and perfect in a lovely weight in which I'm fit and muscular and feel positive and confident in my appearance, for instance, right? Now, if I wrote that down as an affirmation and I decided that I was going to look in the mirror and I was going to say that, you know, 50 times every morning before I went out to work, if underneath that affirmation, the honest truth was, I hate my body, you could say that affirmation a million times and nothing's going to come from it.
Exactly.
Right? You can't manifest out of, you know, resistance.
How do you get rid of the resistance?
Right. That's what we're going to talk about and hopefully even have some experience with so it will start to make some sense for you.
Okay.
The other part of the secret that's challenging is that you often hear people say, you know, those negative or dark emotions cause a kind of lower vibration that saps you from achieving what you want, so that when you notice that you feel bad, it's really important to try to raise that vibration and feel better and get yourself into a positive state.
Right.
Sound familiar?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the majority of the time, I am feeling that lower vibration. It's
right.
It's become very comfortable.
Right.
And I don't want that anymore.
But I want to challenge the prevailing idea and say to you that I've never seen anybody successfully change a feeling. I've seen people many times, hundreds of times, move through a challenging emotional storm through the process of accepting the feeling completely and creating an internal environment that allows that feeling to pass through easily and quickly. But I would argue around this topic that none of us get to choose how we feel. We only get to choose how we will meet our feelings.
Okay.
And that if we choose to meet our challenging feelings in an open and spacious and gentle way, that's the royal road to going from a place of resistance to one of expansion. And essentially what we do is we surf those feelings until they take us to that place of greater well-being and openness. And if we do the opposite, Karen, if we fight the feeling, we just perpetuate the feeling. The more we push, the more the feeling's going to push back because it wants to be felt. That's all it wants, and then it will release.
So give me an example with this weight thing. So when my thought is, I'm fat and I can't change my body, just be okay with that thought?
Well, okay, I want to give you some examples, but I want to make a distinction between thoughts and feelings in this regard.
Okay.
We're going to work with both. And as a matter of fact, that was the next piece I was going to share with you around the thoughts. So we'll come back in a moment to emotions, and when we do come back to emotions, we'll work with them in your physical body because that's where they arise and that's where they move through you and let go of you. But thoughts arise in your brain, right? You don't have a feeling sense about most thoughts. They might have an emotional component connected to them in your body, but a thought or a thought form appears you know, kind of weightlessly and without sensation in your brain.
From me or from outside of me?
Well, Karen, that is the great question. You're already on the road to some relief.
Okay.
Because what you wrote was, I cannot control my thoughts.
Yeah.
And the truth is, no one can.
Okay.
So I'm going to clarify that a little bit. Because there is an intentionality that you can bring to thought and to manifestation and all of that. But the kind of thoughts that arise within us that shut us down and that make us feel bad, those thoughts are not something that we cook up in our brain's kitchen or that we manufacture, you know, in our brain's garage by putting pieces of molecules together. Those thoughts just arise on their own, you know. So you might be looking at a magazine and seeing someone who's, you know, thin and fit, or you might be looking at something, you know, in the grocery store that you wish you could have but you think you shouldn't have, and you might a thought might arise, I'm just too damn fat.
Right.
Right? Okay. Now, you didn't choose to have that thought. Right? That thought just popped up. So what I want to do to, you know, help you begin to give yourself a break is to say it really clearly. You are not responsible for the vast majority of your thoughts. You are responsible 100% for what you do with those thoughts and how you respond to them.
Okay.
But their appearance is not something that you're ever going to be able to control, and no one can control. And thinking that we can control, and especially that we should control them, is a recipe for more resistance and more self-loathing and sense of failure.
That makes
unnecessarily
sense.
So.
Okay.
So are you ready to just kind of take that burden off and
yes.
set it aside?
Absolutely.
I'm not bad or wrong or less than
right.
because I have, you know, crappy feeling thoughts that arise inside of me.
Right.
Okay. So then that moves us to the next step, which is what are you going to do with those thoughts when they arise?
Right.
And the first thing I want to tell you is that as soon as you become aware of a thought like that, your awareness itself has already separated you to some degree from that thought. So what I mean is, if a thought arises and you're not even aware that you're on a train of thought, you know, you kind of half awake or almost hypnotically just follow the train, you know, into greater sense of, you know, pain or negativity or resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go for a long time before you even realize that you've been in it. You're fused with your thoughts in that situation.
Okay.
But as soon as you're aware, oh, I'm having a negative thought or a harmful thought or a painful thought, the awareness gives you the opportunity to stop the train. And it's very simple how you do it. You just turn your attention to the thought. So, for instance, if a thought arises in your consciousness and it's, you know, it says, I'm too fat, as soon as you notice that you've had that thought, you just turn your attention to it and you look. You accept that thought completely. You don't try to understand it or push it away or change it. You just create a space for it to be there. Oh, okay, here you are, there you are, welcome, you know. And in that moment, boom, the thought's gone.
So don't focus on it or do focus on it?
See, these are really great questions, Karen. So I want you to continue to just hear what I'm saying and ask everything like that that comes up, because it allows me to be clear and to give you a refinement.
Okay.
One way you can focus on a thought is to fuel it, to feed it with your, yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We would call that attaching to a thought.
We don't want to do that.
No. Another way you could focus on a thought is to say, that's a bad thought. I really need to have a different thought.
Okay.
And in that way, you're focusing on it, but you're resisting it or pushing it away. You're making it a problem. So rather than attaching or resisting, there's a neutral place of observation and acceptance. Imagine that, you know, you're, you know, sitting in your living room, you know, minding your own business, and you notice, you know, a butterfly is, you know, has entered into the room. Well, as long as you know that that butterfly has got a clear way out the window, and you're not scared of butterflies, your main objective is just to really look at it and to notice it very clearly. What is it? What is on its wings? Look at how it's flapping. Look at how it's lighter than air. Those antennae are really long and fine. So you're observing it like a scientist almost, but also with a certain degree of interest and even care. Like, you know, I want to know everything I can about this butterfly. I want to see this butterfly as fully as I can in its detail and glory. And I want also to make sure that I care for it. So if it seems like it's struggling, you know, I might help it out the window. But if not, I'm just going to watch it fly, and I'm going to stay present to it with my observing awareness, however it, you know, moves and shifts around the room. So there's a quality that I'm describing that is really neutral. It's observational.
Right.
And it's also gentle, open, and there's a caring to it.
Yeah, but it's not emotionally charged.
Right.
Like, yeah.
So if you meet a thought like that, it just immediately dissipates. And another thought might come, and another, but you can continue to meet it like that, to be interested in it, and even caring for it,
okay,
without bringing any of that charge, as you use, this is a great word to use, without bringing any charge to it.
Okay.
So that right there, that way of meeting a negative thought with equanimity, could begin to change everything for you, because you have a way now not to be imprisoned within the fight inside of you between what seems destructive and what you wish you could put in its place but can't, because actually, as long as that fight is persisting, you're not going to be able to get out of the ring.
Right.
Another way to say that is, from the perspective of this work, willpower is never successful.
Exactly.
Because whenever you use willpower, what you're doing is you're aligning against one part of you with another.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you do that, you might have a win, but it's always going to be temporary, and it's always going to be accompanied by pushback.
Yes.
The other side's going to get its day no matter what.
Yes, that's been the cycle.
So we're looking at the situation and saying, okay, willpower doesn't work. We're going to replace it with compassionate acceptance. And what is going to be functioning as the acceptor is nothing more or more complicated than your attention. So all you do when you have a negative thought is you turn your caring, spacious, gentle, observing attention to it. Another way to say that is you attend to the thought. And that's all that's required.
Okay.
And when you do that, a number of things happen. First of all, you start to still the, you know, murky, swirling waters of your habitual thinking patterns. You create an environment in which they don't happen as much anymore.
Right.
And then, even more to the point, it helps you clearly see the resisted emotions, and I mentioned we're going to get back to that in a moment, the resisted emotions that are actually giving rise to those thoughts and using those thoughts to get you to pay attention to them. So I'll say more about that in just a moment.
Okay, no, I get that. I understand.
Okay. But I wanted to add one thing, which is that I mentioned that awareness was key, and that what you wanted to do was become aware as quickly as possible of a negative thought. So I wanted to give you a little bit more assistance in doing that, just by saying that a negative thought is one that, you know, you don't like, or you don't want, or that feels bad, or that makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
So in other words, any thought that is not either neutral or one of well-being is a thought that you would use this approach in meeting.
Okay.
And I would say that, you know, over the next hours and days and weeks, a great thing for you to do would be to become as acutely aware as possible of thoughts that make you feel bad,
okay,
thoughts that you don't like. And usually you have a visceral kind of a twinge or tension or contraction, or even just like a furrowed brow when something moves through you that is not not happy to think. So rather than saying, that's not happy to think, I need to change that and make it a happy thought,
no.
You're going to use this gentle, caring attention to welcome whatever's there.
Okay.
And in that process, rather than exerting your will, you're coming together. You're making yourself whole. You're joining your attention with your experience and becoming fully present. And that is a very powerful state from which to create and from which to change and to heal.
That makes sense.
So that's a muscle to work out. You know, I know you mentioned before that, you know, exercise seemed not like you, but this is a different kind of exercise. I'm laughing because there's a cell phone that doesn't belong to me that just started ringing in the other room, and I don't think you can hear it probably through
my headset. It's the song.
But it's the song is The Age of Aquarius. This
oh,
is
I love
the dawning
that song.
Of the Age of Aquarius. So what we're talking about here is the dawning of the age of your Aquarius, you know, your opportunity to come into that new state of peace and wellness. So we've been assisted by the universe in that process.
Thank God. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Karen, getting back to it, it takes practice, but every time you do it, you get stronger at doing it. You notice quicker, and you're able to stay present and accepting of the thought more and more fully.
Okay.
And I would say that even in just a few days, you'll feel, wow, I'm proficient at this, because it's actually something that's not that difficult to learn as long as you're willing to keep practicing.
Okay.
So you're with me so far?
Just by, yes, not chasing away the negative thought, just by observing it, just accepting it and experiencing it.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So I mentioned something that before sounded right to you, so I'm going to elaborate on it. I mentioned that once you still the internal waters of your mind, you can start to see more clearly the emotions that are trying to get your attention with those thoughts.
Okay.
So, most of the time, when we have persistent negative thoughts, you know, I'm too fat, or what's wrong with me, or I'm unworthy, or the whole slew of them.
Yeah.
We can use them, even though we don't like them, we can use them as sort of flashing neon arrows that take us directly to their source, which is the emotion that we've previously resisted. So
okay.
Let's say, for instance, that, you know, when you have a thought about being just too fat, if you actually you know, allowed yourself to have the feeling that is thrusting that into your awareness, you might feel unattractive, you might feel unworthy, you know, you might feel sad, you might feel hurting. You know, these are some of the feelings that might come up.
Absolutely.
Now, ordinarily, we judge those emotions as painful and therefore undesirable, and we want to push them away. Or we want to replace them, you know, as they talk about in The Secret, with something more positive.
Right.
It can seem really counterintuitive to dive into one's sense of unworthiness. You know, where's that going to get me? I'm just going to be wallowing in the muck. But the truth is that most people who think they've lived their life accompanied by a sense of unworthiness or any of the other emotions that I described have been getting flashes of the emotion and then instantly resisting against it. And this cycle perpetuates over time, so the emotion grows in intensity,
yeah.
Keeps wanting to get through and be felt, as I mentioned, that's its only mission.
Right.
It takes more of one's life energy over time to keep that powerhouse of emotion from surging through. So it saps our mental, emotional, and spiritual energy and drive. And suddenly, most of what we've got to give is going into holding the lid on against all that, you know, pressure that's building inside.
Yeah, and what's the point of that?
Well, it seems like a strategy to avoid feeling bad. Somewhere along the line, we learned it. Probably when we first learned it, we needed it because we were too young and vulnerable to actually weather the emotional storms that we weathered now, or that we could weather now, I should say. Or we just learned that habit because it was passed on to us consciously or unconsciously by a non-emotionally literate family or community or society. And regardless of each person's family, even the ones that are the most emotionally literate, you know, they're still growing up. The kids in the family are still growing up in a community, in a society that doesn't have, you know, a real awareness about how to be skillful
right.
with emotions. So, you know, it's a challenge for anybody to get out of the old habits, you know, and learn these new ones. So they're in place. They've worked to the degree that, you know, you haven't had to take the full dive. But ultimately, the full dive is what changes everything, what heals everything, and what allows you to become, you know, the person that you want to be.
What is the full dive?
Well, in a moment, I'm going to ask you, you know, if you want to explore it, to kind of put your toe in the water. I wouldn't ask you to dive. You know, I'd ask you to go one little increment at a time. But the full dive is to say, just like I can compassionately witness those negative or unwanted thoughts, I can also compassionately witness those painful feelings.
Okay.
So if I'm a person who has spent much of my life battling the feeling of unworthiness.
Right.
There's just something about me that's not good enough. You know, no one's ever going to love me. I'm never going to succeed the way I want to. You know, I'm a loser. All those kinds of thoughts that are connected ultimately to a feeling of unworthiness.
Right.
The full dive is to say, where is that unworthiness in my body? This feeling that I've pushed away for so long. And could I bring my caring attention to it? Almost like the way a parent would cradle a distressed newborn.
Okay.
You know, could I let the quality of my attention be something like this? Without the words, could the quality be, you know, it's okay, I'm here, I'm with you. And could we, this is the question always, could we get so close to the feeling while still maintaining an observational stance that we're, you know, the best metaphor is surfing on that wave of feeling. Because when we do that moment by moment by moment, we finally reunite with that part of us that we have deemed unacceptable. And that's all we need to do to create the optimum environment for healing and change. So the full dive is to go into those places that we have decided are forbidden and reclaim what's there through this process of caring attention.
Reclaim what's there. So, you know, what's going through my head, that Peter Gabriel digging in the dirt. You know, I've kind of worked on this, but so if I go to that place and I'm nurturing where the sense of unworthiness and it's kind of coming from my gut, from my solar plexus, you're saying underneath that is the place of worthiness?
Well, first of all, I mentioned that I was going to ask you to have the experience, and it's a lot easier to work with the experience than to try to, you know, see it abstractly.
Yeah.
So you notice, if I heard you correctly, that when you focus on that sense of not being good enough, not being worthy, that there's a sensation that first comes to you that's in your gut. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So usually the first sensation is our contraction around that feeling. We don't want to feel it. We're not ready yet to feel it. It's that ball, that tightness.
Yes.
Right? So
it's happening right now.
Right. So I would invite you, if you're willing, to not dig, but just to bring your attention very gently there and let yourself observe the sensation in your belly, just like that butterfly I was describing.
Okay.
So I'm going to be silent for a few moments. I'll just say a few little words as you continue. I'll just, you know, kind of encourage you to bring your mind's attention right there to that location in your belly and notice everything you can about what you're experiencing up close and personal without trying to change it or understand it or make it go away. If any thoughts arise, you just kind of acknowledge them, let them be, and keep your attention on the physical sense of what's there in your belly, and you just watch it and allow it as it does whatever it does, moves, shifts, stays the same, disappears, whatever it does, your job is just to notice, and then in a few moments I'll just ask you to report to me what you experience.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So just bring your attention there now. Kind of breathe into that area. Give it space. And with your attention, as I become more quiet, just notice everything you can. Is it warm? Is it cool? Is it stuck? Is it spinning? Does it have a color? Are there thoughts associated with it, or is it just motion or vibration? So just notice for a few moments what's there without any words, not even labels for what's going on. Just notice it. Just surf it with your attention. So keep going. A few moments more. What do you notice?
Okay, well, it's hot. There was a shooting sensation from the gut to the throat, which, you know, was like swallowing tears, but I was trying not to hold that in, just let them come.
Uh-huh.
And a prevailing sense of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I tried to observe it, it feels like it's from a past life that's just stuck in my body.
Mm-hmm. So if it's from a past life, that could be literally your past life, or if a person believes in reincarnation, it could be from a life that isn't yours.
No, it was mine. It was mine.
Okay. But either way, it's in you, right?
Yeah.
So you did great, and then you just showed yourself something that is really important to recognize, and that is that when you bring your attention on a place of contraction, a place where you have routinely pushed down what you're feeling, just your attention allows that contraction to release. And when it released for you, in less than 30 seconds really, you came in touch with, for you, what is the prevailing feeling, you know, one that you called sadness. So I'm going to ask you, if you're willing, you did so great the first time, to just go back in and let your intention be, I'm going to surf this sadness moment by moment, and I'm going to let it be with that spacious, caring attention that we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
Now, and I want to give you one more instruction, which is, since sadness is a noun, but feeling is always dynamic, don't even worry about whether what you feel is sadness or not.
Okay.
Don't even worry about giving words while you're silently surfing to the flow of sensation. Just let yourself be with it and allow it gently wherever it takes you.
Okay.
So go back in and breathe right into wherever you're noticing the greatest degree of sensation right now. And there's a life with sadness, a lot of sadness, that's welled up in you, that's been waiting for you to come meet it halfway, so to speak. And in these next few moments, you're going to experiment with that idea. You're just going to come right up close and personal to the sadness and find out everything you can about it by staying awake and attentive and allowing as it moves and shifts.
Okay.
Just going into the heart of the sadness, feeling what's almost seemed impossible to feel, too much to feel. Going, allowing, observing, just a few more moments. Come on back when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Just tell me what you noticed.
It was all in the throat this time.
Mm-hmm.
And the strongest thought was, it's not safe here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of my problem. Mm-hmm. All in general, the weight, everything. I don't feel safe here.
And where is here, as you understand it?
In the body. On this earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like this all the time, but this has come up for me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, you did great in letting that surface, and I want to ask you if you have a sense of what is the danger.
Well, I know what it is, because I had a past life regression, and I know how I died, and I know why this is all stuck in my throat. Excuse me.
Sure.
I've also done something called rebirthing, which is circular breathing, and it brings up stuff that you've kept, and I always get stuck in the throat.
Mm-hmm.
So I could tell you what it is, or just tell you that I'm aware of it. I don't know what would be more helpful.
Well, first of all, I'm glad that you mentioned that you've done a lot of work on this, and I know rebirthing can be really powerful for a lot of people. And it's also not uncommon that the throat is a block, and often it's a block, almost literally to expression. It's hard to move it through, whether that expression is actual words or sounds or the flow that leads to tears.
Right.
But whatever it is that you experience in your past life regression or that came up in rebirthing, is that here now on this planet, in this body, in this life?
Not directly.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
I guess part of me wants to be in a kind of environment where there's just natural sounds, peaceful people, no stress, an impossible life from what I can see because, the life I'm living, it's not quite in a city, but close enough. There's always sirens. There's always lawnmowers. These are just sounds, and yet I find them threatening to my sanity, to my peace.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time being here
mm-hmm.
and still being peaceful.
Mm-hmm. So, as long as you are here, then you have the opportunity, and we could even say the necessity, to develop a strategy to make your experience as pleasant, as safe as possible.
Yes.
So what do you know about that? In other words, there's a part of you that is connected to the sadness,
yeah,
that says, I don't feel safe, and so if we honor that part of you for a moment, but move away from it to a more, let's say, removed part of you that can look at the situation from the outside of it, what could you do to create more of a sense of safety? What would be necessary?
I think really move into the country, which means leaving my family and those that do give me a sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fear around that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also not married, so to go alone really is scary for me.
Yeah. So, I asked that question, and even as I asked it, I realized I kind of did that a little backwards. So I want to ask you to do it a different way, which is directly from the source.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, if you can go in for just a few moments directly to that place that was telling you it's not safe here, that was connected to the sadness.
Yeah.
And if you let the question be there, what do you need? What do you want? And don't try to figure it out using your analytical mind, as I mistakenly just asked you to do, but listen for an answer that comes without strain or trying. And don't filter, whatever comes up, just let it be, even if it seems crazy.
Okay.
And just keep, take a few moments. And if the first thing doesn't seem clear, you just take a few extra moments. Just let your compassionate attention continue. But this time with the added step of listening for what this part of you wants.
All I'm getting is just relax, which sounds very easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to imagine.
I think that's Karen, that's profound. So I want to, stay with that for a moment. Go back in. Just, kind of let your mission be to say, okay, I heard you. I'm still listening. Tell me more about that. And again, without strain or looking, just let whatever arises come to your attention. Tell me more about relax. What does that mean to you, this part of me that is so often sad and unsafe?
It's just saying embrace the unembraceable, which I don't really get. I guess just be okay with the things I'm not okay with.
Well, so embrace the, and I'm going to put unembraceable in quotes, is really exactly what I'm inviting you to do.
Okay.
What I would share with you is that, and here's the kind of like the big, whammy. It's coming from a place of care, but what I want to share with you is that the internal environment of resistance, stuffing down those painful emotions, pushing away sensations that seem too much to be with or to let move through you, that is the most unsafe environment that you can create.
That's true.
So regardless of whether you live in the country or the city, with your family nearby or without, with a husband or without, you do have the power to foster as peaceful and as safe an internal environment as you can. And what that fragile part of you is communicating already at a first kind of pass when we explore it is that it's that internal shift that comes from embracing the unembraceable which is actually the most powerful means of cultivating safety.
It makes sense.
So we have a hint that it's not the outside, and that it's not even, you know, the past life that is where the heart of this healing is calling from, but that it's really right there within you.
Right.
So since the very process of staying aware and connected to the sadness brought that inner knowing to the surface, I would invite you to go back in and first of all, just tell me before you spend any extra moments, tell me where you notice the greatest degree of feeling inside of you, just right now. Where is your attention drawn? Pardon me?
It's the heart.
Okay. So if you would, because sometimes this is an aid in staying connected, just put a hand right there over your heart.
Okay.
And let yourself stay in the same way, closely connected and fully aware of the flow of sensation as it moves through you. You don't need to get a message. It doesn't need to be sadness. Just notice what's there as you continue to let those fragile parts of you know that you're willing to embrace them, no matter how unembraceable they seem, and that you're willing to cultivate safety and peace through this process, a kind of, and this is key, Karen, relaxing into what is, as opposed to, you know, relaxing in the usual sense. So let your attention and your intention be for these next few moments, your hand on your heart, to relax into what's there. Just keep noticing, flowing with whatever arises. I'm here. It's okay. I'm with you. Let those be the qualities of your attention. Just keep relaxing into what's there. Few moments more. Good. So what do you notice?
I was like a resigning myself, just okay. All right, whatever. And a little twinge of anger.
And do you have a sense anger that or anger about?
Yeah, just having to accept things the way they are.
And then was that towards the beginning, in the middle? Or
no, it was
the
at the end.
Okay.
First the resignation and then a little bit of anger.
And how would you describe inside of you right now, your kind of overall feeling state?
More peaceful, more aware, less, believe it or not, less vulnerable and teary, but with that, I guess resignation is the best word to describe. It's just kind of like accepting the unacceptable, you know, just being with whatever is and, you know, que sera, sera kind of thing.
So let me just kind of share a couple things with you about what you're telling me. First of all, I think the fact that you experienced that anger is great because anger is a propelling experience. It not always, but often can be, you know, an emotion that has a lot of force to it. It is the opposite of being sort of squished down by life.
Yeah.
you know, anger turned inward is often depression, but anger turned outward often becomes action.
Oh.
So I like that you had a vital and a powerful emotion, even in that place that you're calling resignation.
Okay.
But I would also, you know, if you're willing, I would use a different word. I would just use the word that you also use, which is acceptance. Because resignation has a quality of giving up or giving in.
Right.
And acceptance has a peaceful connotation to it.
That's true.
And that's actually how you describe yourself as feeling, more peaceful.
That's true.
Now, also, Karen, you said, believe it or not, you know, I don't feel as vulnerable. And I do believe it, because so often the usual sense of upset and unease and instability and fragility isn't the result of direct emotional connection. It's the result of resistance to those challenging emotions. So there is a calm at the center of the storm that is available to you that comes through this process of acceptance. Now, what you can see from our time together is that accepting a thought happens in a split second. Accepting a challenging emotion takes more time and more patience, because it moves through your physical body in its own way and in its own time, and you continue to need to rededicate yourself to staying connected to it.
That's true. What happens if you're in public and you need that time to process?
You just either, if it's a safe place, you can do it quietly and let whatever comes come. But most often people require a recognition, oh, there's a lot here that needs to move through. As soon as I get to a place of privacy and safety, I'll come back to it.
Okay.
You know, a temporary delay is never a problem as long as you come back to it.
Right.
But you have, like so many of us have, a kind of backlog of this kind of emotion. And, you know, it will take a while, but as you start to give yourself, you know, to this process of caring attention, the backlog will clear. So you'll feel more peaceful. You'll feel more safe. You'll feel less stressed, less unworthy, as a kind of a baseline. You know, that's what you have to look forward to. Nobody has a bottomless pit of negative feeling. Once you start to say the coast is clear, the clearing begins to happen. But let's do something that is, I think, really important, given what your you know, original concern was as we spoke this, you know, today. What do you notice in this place of, you know, acceptance and peacefulness? What do you notice in terms of food and appetite? You know, do you find yourself hungering? Do you find yourself not hungering? Something in between? And I don't mean just like physically, but you know how there's that emotional hunger.
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of what degree of that are you experiencing now?
Very little.
So, you know, just to be really clear about this, Karen, I've worked with people who are a lot more overweight than you and who've had a lot greater struggles than this. They come to that place of acceptance, that fragile place where the sadness is, where the unworthiness is. They do exactly what you did. And the hallmark of this place of authentic connection and reconnection to yourself, the hallmark is that you do not have those drives.
That's true. I can see this working.
And the point about this, Karen, is that that emotional hunger that ends up getting brought to actual eating is a part of the resistance. It helps keep those feelings of sadness and unworthiness temporarily at bay. And so that's part of the strategy. And when you choose a different strategy, the one that we're experimenting with today, your relationship to food can change without that willpower we talked about earlier. It can change with ease, because if you notice the drive, if you notice that emotional hunger, it becomes a call to do this, to drop beneath the compulsion and meet the emotion that actually is calling for your attention. And when you do that, you know, you create not just reconnection, but you create healing, and you create an environment in which you can actually naturally choose what's best for you.
Right. Well, I'm smiling right now, so I think you're right.
Good. Well, you know, it is a practice. We sometimes, you know, do better at it than other times, and that's why I always want to share with people about what I call the no-fail zone, which means if you go out tomorrow and for the first half of the day this is really working for you and you feel peaceful and connected, great, and you notice you're not eating, you know, the second half of what you might normally eat, and that feels great. And then something triggers you, you know, and you lose it for a few moments, and, you know, then suddenly you've overeaten, you've stuffed down the sensation, you feel terrible, like, you know, why did I even do the call? I'm just a loser. I can't do what other people do. That's not a failure. That's an opportunity.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is something happened. Some experience arose in you. What was it that was too much for your system to handle right then?
Hmm.
Once you can locate what that is, the next time it arises, you'll have a strengthened readiness and awareness to stay present and to stay witnessing when it comes. And without that so-called failure, you wouldn't have that information. You wouldn't have been able to really focus in exactly where you needed to.
That makes sense.
And so if you think, you know, if you start out thinking, I have to do this right, and then you have that kind of setback, and you think, well, I just might as well give it all up, you're bound to quit, because we all, you know, are uneven at best in our ability to stay connected in the way I'm describing.
Right.
But if you let each moment where you don't let it happen 100%, you let that be a learning experience, then you'll only move forward. You know, you'll only keep staying more and more present. You'll keep creating more and more healing. You'll keep experiencing more and more peace, and it's from that place that the weight starts to come off, because you don't need it to keep you safe anymore.
Exactly. I can't wait.
Good. Well, that's so, it's so nice to hear that lightness in your voice, and to know that that's there for you. And I want to just in closing, I want to bring your attention to one thing. There's lots of stuff you can do for, you know, healing and change. I mean, you talked about some pretty intensive activities like past life regression and rebirthing. But what we spent our hour doing was something very gentle, something you can do yourself, you know, although it's nice sometimes to have support. But mostly you can do it yourself, and you can do it in your daily life, even when other things are happening, just staying connected to the thoughts as they come through, allowing them, just noticing what's happening in your body and surfing it with your awareness. So it was just an hour, you know, give or take. And what you were doing, as I mentioned, was simple and gentle.
Yeah.
So that means it's also portable. It's yours. You know, you don't have to pay lots of money for it. You don't have to graduate to the fifth level, you know. It's just here for you right now to grasp.
Right, whenever I need it.
Yeah, which is pretty much always, because it's a way to meet every moment in our life.
How long, if you don't mind me asking, how long have you been living your life this way?
Probably about going on 14 years.
Wow.
And, you know, I got there the hard way, like many people do, you know, hitting the bottom in one version. I mean, I wrote about that in the Oprah magazine and my first article that I wrote for them. But it was through the school of pain and suffering that I was able to stumble into this, you know, better way. And this better way is really at the heart of all of the wisdom traditions of the world. It's about embracing what is. And my contribution is to help people recognize what that really means moment by moment by moment. And that's what you've been practicing today. So you have the tool. You have me as a support. And I want to let you know that from this point forward, you can always email me and say, hey, I had a stumbling block. What do you think about this? Or can we get on the phone, you know, without the record button pressed for a few minutes? I just need a little course correction here. You're always welcome to do that. I would always love to hear from you.
Thank you.
And,
will.
You know, my intention for you is that this next passage in which you start to experience well-being and the weight starts to come off isn't one of struggle.
Right.
It's one of ease. And your job is to keep showing up, to be present and attentive, and the rest begins to take care of itself. So when you said before, you know, I diet and I exercise and that's just not me, I understand that. And that may be the path to satisfying weight loss for other people. But for you, even if you do lots of exercise in the next 6 months, it's not that you've become the exercise person. It just might be that that natural desire arose out of the ease that comes from this relaxing into what is.
Right. That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Rafael.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And, you know, I also just, in coming full circle, I think I spoke to you before we turned on the recording about how I thought all of your concerns were connected. We didn't talk about, you know, relationship. We didn't talk about career. But I did mention to you that I thought that everything would kind of come under this umbrella, even a sense of spiritual exhaustion, and
yes.
And I really want to emphasize that I still believe that this process that we're talking about, which we've focused more directly in terms of, you know, eating and what's underneath the eating and getting to those emotions of sadness and lack of safety, et cetera, it's my conviction from all the work that I've done with so many people that will bring you back to life, that will provide the energy that has been missing, which has been used to shut yourself down and to keep that lid on. Now the energy will come back into your life for purposes of creativity, for thriving, which is exactly how you meet a partner, which is exactly how you fall in love with your own body, so that then you can enjoy being with someone in an intimate way. And it also is what you can bring to your work. So the wellspring of well-being that starts with this presence and this relaxing into what is will spread to all of the areas of your life, and you don't even have to work on that. You can just watch that happen as you keep going.
Wow, that is so beautiful.
You've been listening to Emotional Connection with Rafael Kushner. Our theme music is by Stephen Walters. For more information on this work, please visit my website, livingthequestions.org. This is also where you can reach me to ask questions and provide feedback, schedule your own private sessions by phone, get listings of upcoming events in your area, and learn about our unique year-long program. Once again, that's livingthequestions.org. Our second sponsor for this program is DIY Father, the choice for a new generation of fathers. Are you a brand new dad, like me? Or perhaps you're more experienced, or just found out that you're going to be a dad? If any of these descriptions fit, then please tune in to the International Dad Channel and the show DIY Father. Each week, International Dad and DIY Father present information, experiences, and news for fathers by fathers. For more information and to join in the discussion, visit internationaldad.com and diyfather.com. That's our show for this week. Thank you for joining us, and here's to emotional connection.